Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with our episode 2 recording of Arcane. Now, episode 2, meaning we are covering episodes 2, 3, and 4 of the show. And boy, were they fucking good. It's me and Jimmy as rooks and Dave and Luke as vets. Just my little two cents, man. My notes suck because the show's so good. I just forget to take notes. I'm so sucked in. I don't breathe, especially episode 3. The time jump was crazy. I can't wait to talk through it. I liked Jace. I thought he was a good addition, and I liked meeting all of the topsider people. So once we get going, we'll get into that. But
okay. Boys. Jimmy, what'd you think? Instant take.
I love this show.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we brought this up before. I think I talked about it during the Pitchtown. Really. Shows like this and animes, they just have this stigma for certain people because they're animated, because they're cartoons, or however you want to say it. And I've said this before, too. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, one of my favorite shows of all time, is a top 10 show of any show on IMDb. Okay, including, you know, here's Sopranos, The Wire, everything. You know, there's an anime in there, and animes do it. You know, like they bring the story. Like, they give you the feels. I mean, this was, my gosh, you know, I was binging, and that I told Kathleen for this specifically, I wanted to binge. Like, I wasn't going to do a second rewatch. We're doing this pretty lightly. I wanted to be able to stay fresh. So I was like, I'm not going to watch 2 and then 3 a couple days later, and then 4. I'm going to run it. You know, I'm going to binge it. And I did it, man. And it was so easy to binge. I got the feels that I haven't gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
And then episode 4 happened, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So I know we'll get into this, but some of the things are hilarious that, like, for example, I didn't even think twice that the main character that you brought up, Luke, that could be from the, what are they called again?
The Topsiders. Yeah, we'll clarify.
Would be the person they stole from. Like, I didn't even think. I didn't even think that was gonna be.
Me neither.
You know, like, but then, like, obviously, we got a couple things, and then, but there, I would have never guessed. I didn't even have it as a second thought that it might be Powder versus our girl. Like, honestly, and you brought up the time skip, and we were acting like maybe it's a spoiler, and whatever. I guess technically is because we only watched the pilot, but. I saw that poster for Arcane 5 million times. So how would I not know that that's Powder as older when they show her with the blue hair and it's, you know, it's the one we see now, Jinx.
What's the poster? Is it them against each other, or is it just
No. It's just like they're showing Jinx and they're showing Vi, and it's just they're older looking, you know?
Jinx is such a fucking cool name, especially why she got the name. It's a 10 out of 10 name. When they call her that, I was like, sheesh, that's good.
Okay, let me jump in, because I have a million things so I can say.
There's so much I want to just talk about.
But yo, straight off the Jinx thing, when we were going through the pilot, I called Powder Jinx by accident. And I corrected myself right away.
What's funny is I thought you were spoiling the Topsider by accident.
Oh, because
you said,
new guy.
Because you said
like
Jinx in a way where, like, you, that was the first way you were going to the first word of the name you brought up, you're just like, and Jinx, and you're like, oh shit. And then you kind of like played it, and then you went Powder, and then you just went. But like, I didn't really think that it was going to be like Powder's other name. I just thought it was going to be like, oh, you accidentally let slip that that's the top side or protagonist.
That's what I told Luke right after the recording, because he was like, shit, I said Jinx. And I was like, honestly, they probably thought it was some random ass character that they didn't even think it was going to be Powder. So
without context, really, there's not.
It's such an epic name. I fucking love that name. Let's just call her Jinx.
Yeah,
like
Jinx.
No need. Drop 100%. That Powder name. I forgot her name was Powder in the beginning. Is like how, and all the gamers of the world, like if you play League of Legends, it's Jinx. It's Jinx and it's Jinx and Vi. So like everybody else knew it was coming. We didn't, obviously, but her character design, like jumping ahead to this time skip, Jinx is great. She's just entertaining every second she's on the screen.
So wait, let me pause and do a little rewind here. For the game, are they against each other? Like, are they just two characters that we know of, and it's Jinx and Vi?
Yeah, it's just playable characters.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you meant like the storyline of Arcane League of Legends or League of Legends is actually they're against each other or something. But we can get into whatever we want, because I'm ready to freaking go. Yeah.
So let me say a couple things. If you're listening to this as a Bingetown fan, we usually like to dive deep into stories like or shows like this, go scene by scene, kind of like that. But for this, it's just going to be a fun little Pitchtown Plus for us. Ooh, can we use that? Pitchtown Plus?
Ooh.
Pitchtown Plus.
I like that.
$5 a month. For us. So we're kind of just going to be free balling it, just hitting all the main characters, maybe going out of order, doing whatever really we want. But I wanted to lay out, now that you guys have almost half of the season under your belt, some of the IMDb ratings here, but outside of just when I told you guys that it was like a 9.1 out of 10, I think.
Yeah.
Or as a series, almost every single episode here I'm looking at. Okay. Every single episode is an 8.5 or higher. And the two highest rated episodes are episode 3, which is that ending time skip before the time skip. And then the finale at 9.6, which is really hype, because episode 3 was amazing. It's the emotional one. It kind of sets the end of the prologue. And then you have to look forward to the best episode of them all, is the finale. So it's like, it's just a great ride the whole way through. And episodes 5 through 9, which is what we're going to plan to cover in our follow-up to this podcast as just a full series open dialogue, those 5 episodes are 8.9, 9.2, 9.2, 9.2, 9.6. So it's like IMDb ratings are not easy to get that level of consistency. So we're in it now, and you guys, and this was the perfect spot for to stop, because it just, we don't have too much on Vi for the time skip, but you do get that little intro to hype you up a little bit. We got all of the Jinx, which I've been waiting so desperately for. And I can't leave my boy Jace in the background here.
Yeah, Jace.
He gets highlighted in episodes 2 and partially 3 too. But now we do have some verbiage about what we can use as terms for people, because we know that the top side country, the top siders, it's Piltover. That's the name of the country, or the city, I guess. And then down under is Zaun. Z-A-U-N is what the name of it. So even on the Wikipedia, it calls them like Zaunites sometimes.
Okay.
We could do whatever we want there, but...
And Zaun is like the underground nation if they were all one.
Yeah.
And then we have the... they were one, but they're not. And that's the whole thing between the antagonist, I guess, and... our boy who RIP, Silco and Vander, that was like their thing before their revolution that failed.
Right.
And I also will say they also refer to Zaun as, I guess the actual physical location is called the Lanes too. I guess I don't know if we got that too, but that just for more clarification, like Zaun is what pretty much Silco wants. Is like the ideal nation that Silco wants, but we can refer to the underground as Zaun. And Zaunites.
And just to go back to what Luke was saying about IMDb, I had to look really quick. So we have the top 200 shows rated of all time. I have to do a little bit of a edit on myself. Full Metal is no longer in the top 10. It is 15. But Avatar The Last Airbender, just to go back to the anime cartoon thing, that's number 8. Then we have Rick and Morty at 14. I'm just going for the cartoons here. And then Arcane is 25.
I know.
So, and it's beating a lot of shows. I mean, it's beating Attack on Titan's 27, The Office is 28, Death Note 32. But here's the thing. Again, we're doing the top 200 here, and I just named like four animes in a row in the top 40. You know, and True Detective, which, you know, I know it got worse as it went on. Number one, people think is a masterpiece. That's 36. Better Call Saul, which people freaking love. That's 37. So just to think about things that it's beating. Fargo is like another huge one that everyone loves. Mm-hmm. That's 44. So Friends, guys, 49. So
wow.
But this is why I was like so ready to get Kathleen's opinion on this. And she's also watching Dark, which it's very well documented, my favorite show of all time.
Yeah.
So she's simultaneously watching Arcane and Dark. She's texting us in one group chat saying, I fucking love Dark. And I'm like, yeah, everyone does. But what about Arcane?
Yeah.
And then she's like, and Arcane's pretty good too. And I was like, hell yeah.
I mean, it's just good TV all around that I'm watching right now. It's like, I don't want to do anything else, but... but let's get into it because I have so much to talk about. I watched 3 and 4 today, but I watched 2 maybe 2 days ago or so. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking at my notes from 2, the magic scene with the frozen tundra with Jace, I was like, that's insane. And I love the four kids running from the enforcers in that episode. I'm like, that was sick. All these scenes are sick. And then I totally forgot about them after 3 and 4 because 3 and 4 were just like, hit after hit. The scenes were out of control. Like the whole scene at Silco's place, like when they're trying to take Vander back, is just like, I mean, there you go. Jinx that shit up. And she's still jinxing stuff up in the fourth episode. Like she's still fucking things up all the time. It's like still her MO. Mm-hmm. And I love that she didn't actually lose that.
We got that part right. We said she was going to be like the tech gadget person, just didn't think she was going to be on the other side. And that ending, and I know we're going to jump around, but the ending of episode 3 is just devastating. Like I literally couldn't have guessed that was going to be the result. You know, we were talking about who's going to die, and we said Vander's going to die, and we said the time jump's going to happen. He's not going to be around. And you know, obviously we guessed that, and that just seems like something you probably should have guessed as a viewer. But to guess that Milo, and I call him Badger because he sounds like my boy Badger, but
Tiger.
Yeah, to think that they died, and to be completely honest, when Vi is laying there too, and Vander looks like he's like freaking out because he thinks she's dead, I thought that it was going to be that Jinx took out the whole crew and like she's just going to be a time jump and she's the new like, oh, my life sucks. I can't believe I did that to my family, but I'm the new protagonist. Mm-hmm. But it's just the fact that Vi lived and everyone else died because of Jinx. And then Vi gives her that 2 seconds of enraged, you know, when she doesn't even mean it. And then, of course, she wants to go back and she can't go back. That's just crazy. And I was not expecting. We said, you know, maybe one's on the top and one's on the bottom, maybe this and that. We had so many guesses, but we didn't say one's going to be on one end of the war and one's going to be on the other end.
Yeah.
I was so fucking pissed on the podcast when you guys were like, oh, Vander's definitely like number one on the chopping block. Like, okay, sure. That was like, that one's a little bit predictable, I guess. I can see why you guys guessed that. And then Kathleen was like, oh, Milo and Clagger could also be on the chopping block. I was like,
unbelievable guess.
I was sitting here straight faced, but in my head, I was literally screaming. But the only thing that kept me, you know, composed was knowing that you guys weren't going to know exactly how they died.
How it happened.
Because you get the three perspectives or the multiple perspectives of when the bomb's going off. I think it's so masterfully well done. You get Jinx. She sets the bomb off. And of course, you don't know if it's going to work. And then it hits the symbol.
Oh,
the first perspective is Jinx falling. And she's kind of smiling a little bit because she thinks she did what was.
Yes, I did it.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's like, I did it. I saved everyone. And then you get the second perspective is the beefy guy, whatever his fucking name is. No. The zombie person.
Deckard?
Oh, yeah. The one that
you see Deckard get completely blown away. And then you see Silco and his girl kind of take the blow. And so you're kind of getting there and you're like, all right, she saved the day. Let's go. And then it's the sound of when Milo gets like some debris hits Milo in the face and his goggles come off and you hear that sound of blood hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
even
the second time watching, I'm sitting there just like, I can't believe that just fucking happened. And then Milo gets pelted with the fucking spear and then everything
spear. Oh my god. So I thought like, okay, I was like, okay, Clagger's dead. That's obviously sucks, but I was ready for that to be it. Like, I thought that was going to be the hit that we took, you know, and then, oh, this is really bad. Like, Jinx killed Powder, whatever, killed Claggart. This is going to be a problem, you know, especially with Milo. This is all going in my head. And then, like, even when he gets paled, it's his shoulder. So I'm like, he's good, dude. Like, he'll get out of this. And then the thing, the debris falls on him. And I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, it does not hold back at all. Like, they're brutal in this show. And it was hinted at the end of the pilot with how they just murdered the rat. And, like, you saw the blood. Yeah. That's pretty much what happened to Milo. Right. Yep. And it's just. And you're right. Like, it gets you in the feels, man, because like Jinx has no fucking idea what she just did. And the butterfly effect of what she just does for the next five episodes is it's insane.
I just love the repeating cymbal clap from the monkey. Like, you get it one time and you get the perspective and then you get it again. And it's a different. It was so just artistically well done. And it just makes the scenes hit harder when you're especially when you're rewatching. I'm so glad you guys love those episodes, because it was. Sitting here and not trying to tell you guys, episode three is the episode. Like, it's so good to finally be able to talk to you guys about it. And now that we all have the perspective of what happened,
but let's not let that overshadow one of my favorite parts of this entire episode is Vi
fucking everybody up
was just the music, the animation was so good. And the fact that it was to protect Vander in Vander's similar fighting style while Milo's about there, like, trying to crack his, and then Jinx is like on the outside. Like, it was such a masterful scene that it's no surprise to me at all that this is tied with the finale for the best episode, just for these couple of minutes of the episode. It's just fantastically done.
Dude, her swinging those gauntlets was so fucking hot. She's just thrilling. It was so fucking sexy. I love seeing her do that. It was
amazing. Well, people dying in the show is, like, I know, a huge thing on Luke's list, right? That's how that makes good show a great show. True. No one's safe, right? But before this, Benzo died, our good cop died. They've been killing all those enforcers, like all the other people. Silco already fucked up either the episode before or the beginning of this episode, whichever it was, whenever they took Vander. So when they took Vander, I was like, oh, okay, he's safe. They didn't kill him. He's safe. He's good.
I agree. I actually thought that we were wrong when they took him and he was being kept alive. I did think that until they got to the warehouse, I was like, yeah, they're probably going to break him out. Like, I do think he's actually going to live now. So
They had it.
Yeah, I mean, they did have it, and that it was Jinx. Yeah. They had it. They had the opening in the back and he was unlocked. It was game over. And I was actually surprised too, because they showed Deckard, right?
Yeah, Deckard.
Yeah, they showed Deckard and how fast he effed up Benzo and even knocking out Ander and the one. That's the right name, right?
Vander.
Vander. Why did I say Ander? I'm thinking of a Vander. Vander in that one shot. I just was thinking, like, there's no way that Vi is going to be able to close that door on him, because I thought he was going to be way faster. But I love the fact that even Vander, who wasn't juiced up yet, was able to block the first punch, go after, like, dude, I was so happy that they gave us a chance to see Vander doing it big.
Being a badass.
And then seeing him juiced up too, and he's controlling it, because that shows more of his, like, his abilities, because, you know, Deckard, I mean, what, either way, I don't know if Deckard was really trying to control just because he was listening to what
Silco
was saying, but Vander literally was like, he was like, I'm the Hulk, but I'm going to go save Vi. I'm not going to, like, you know, follow the rage. I'm actually going to do what I want with all my faculties. I mean, he was a badass.
I think that Vander scene is so, it makes it so much more emotional, especially fresh off, because he just watched two out of four, I guess, of his kids just get killed right in the moment. And the scream that he takes on, he dons the gauntlets, he comes out, and just the one dude who wasn't Deckard, he had no shot.
Game over.
Yeah, I think he flicked him and then just,
he,
like,
literally,
tossed,
dude,
him,
that's
over
why,
the rail.
Dude, flick. Like, it was game over.
And then he just goes up to Deckard, who is just juiced up out of his mind on Shimmer, and he puts up a fight. But then once he goes down and he gets pushed off the edge, and Silco fucking stabs him.
Yeah.
The rage in my system from Powder fucking up to now Silco just, like, weaseling his way into taking down Vander. I was so fucking pissed. And then, of course, you know, when he lands in the Shimmer box, that, of course, the only thing that he has to do is take it. And
yeah,
when Powder slash Jinx lets go of the monkey and she is like dangling on the side of a building watching, yeah, it's like, what did you fucking think was gonna happen? What did you want? You're gonna get pushed back, you're gonna explode. You already watched those things explode the building in the pilot. You gotta know what they do.
The cool thing about Jinx is she doesn't care about repercussions of anything. Like, she just does things and deals with it.
Well, especially now, like, yeah, especially when she's actually now. Jinx. Yeah. Jesus. Like, and we'll get into that more when we start talking about that.
Yeah,
but
keep it pre-time.
I mean, I wasn't expecting, like, Harley Quinn to come out. Like, my goodness. But
wow, great comparison.
Yeah. Well, I literally have that in my notes, and I'm pissed you said that.
But like Dave said, the perspective thing was amazing, just reshowing it from different perspectives. And like you said, Dave, the first perspective was Powder. So my first thought when I'm getting these thoughts in my head of, oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Was I thought she was going to accidentally kill herself to save them because she went flying off the roof. I thought that was her dying too. Like, they don't even really say how, like, at first I was like, does she land in water or something? Like, I don't know.
Because the music does get a little bit more sad, I guess, as she's like falling down a little bit too. And you do kind of, I was thinking the same thing in my rewatch. Like, it looks like Powder is the one that's sacrificing herself.
Yep.
Let's talk about Vi's reaction. I mean, she just watched her two best friends die. She watched her dad die, and he's laying next to her all fucked up and juiced up.
And Powder comes in and is like, I saved the day. Yeah. And I'm just like, you're an idiot, but at the same time.
It's raining, I think, at the time, too. It's
so big, juicy tears in her eyes. Oh.
So obviously, I think hitting her was a little excessive. That was definitely
true. Yeah, I wasn't
expecting
to punch her in the face.
I get it. Tension is high for Vi. Like you said, Kathleen, like the father, two best friends just died, and she just found out that it was all Powder, her sister. And it's like the emotion, I can't even begin to think in that. Like, I don't know. I hope I'm never in a position like that, but I get it. You're angry. But once she hit her, that's the moment for me where it's like, okay, now these two are clearly going to get separated at some point.
Yeah.
And maybe like it does happen within the next 5 minutes. And it's unfortunate too, because Vi sees Silco hovering over Powder after she just stormed off from Powder. And you're thinking, fuck, Silco is going to kill her. And of course, that douchebag Marcus comes in and fucking stops her. It's like, that guy is just the worst. Let's be all on the same page of that. Marcus sucks.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, fucking Marcus.
But then the twist, I think, of Silco going from killing Powder to being like, okay,
hugging
what better
her
way to fuck with Vander even after death than to just take his kid and just make her the absolute worst. I thought that scene was just really well done, to be honest.
I agree.
Agreed, but can we talk about it's icky when she's like sitting on his lap or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that. I do. That's for episode four, though. That's
leave that for post time.
I need to know if there's some banging going on, because if there is,
there's
a problem.
Real
quick, it's definitely not. It's just it's father daughter, but it's gross. I don't know.
Okay.
Before we get there, actually, I just wanted to say pre-podcast, I literally looked at Luke and I was like, I really want to hear Kathleen's thought on the relationship of Jinx and Silco, because it is weird. It's definitely, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Wait, but just while we're talking about it, something happened to his eye in that scene and I didn't understand what happened. She was like,
So pretty much what happens is in the beginning of episode three, I think it is, when you get that monologue from Silco talking about drowning and how everything's like peaceful underneath. Uh-huh. Pretty much what happened, I think, was Vander, during their fight, had cut his eye and then was drowning him in the river, which is completely like polluted and toxins and things. So his eye got pretty much infected. And now how I take it is that he has to use a little bit of shimmer like daily in his eye to kind of heal it. So it doesn't kill him.
Get that in the first, at the end of episode one, like he does put the shimmer right into his eye and like the one of the last shots. So that's just like kind of a consistent thing, but clearly it doesn't. And you see it like how it takes over his body's just kind of used to it. But one thing about the Silco and the Vander thing, which we're going to get more on their backstory a little bit, but it's implied heavily that they were on the same side before. Yeah. Vander started like trying to kill him. So
they were homies. They were straight up like the co-captains of this revolution.
Yes.
And then it's like the typical, like, you went too far, Silco, and and Vander, Silco thinks he's a little wuss for not going far enough. And that's their strife. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to skip over some of the stuff from the other episodes before we get into 4-2, just because, I mean, the scene where Benzo dies, and then Vi's locked in the room and can only really see through the window, and she can't really tell. And at first she thinks Vander was killed too. She doesn't realize that Vander's actually being dragged off. And then little man comes in, he's crying, and she goes and hugs him. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like that one, that was the first feels. Like that was the first one. I was like, damn, like you're getting me good here. And then leave it to our homie, little man, to follow. Like that was his job, I guess. Like that's what he does. But I was loving it. So I'm like, all right, that's my boy. he's feeling anguish and he still does his job. But
that scene was almost as shocking to me as the deaths later, how they killed what's Grayson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even remember that when we did the pilot. I did not remember her going out like that.
Oh, me neither. Like watching it, I was shocked again. I was like, I can't believe she just fucking died.
Fuck so Marcus, dude.
Yeah, and we were also correct that Vander did give himself up.
But it was actually.
But it was
really
Vi giving herself
first.
Up. Yeah. And here's a question I have for you guys. Does Vi tell Powder that she's going to do that? Is that why Powder looks so sad the whole time and then she's surprised when Vi shows back up, or is she just upset that Vi left at that one point before she goes?
I don't think she knew.
Okay. Because she looks so upset that and she's like holding like her gadgets and I think the bunny or whatever, and she looks sad and then she's like, oh my god, you're here when Vi shows up. So I thought that she only told Powder like, hey, I gotta do this, but it makes sense if she didn't. I wasn't sure.
Two other things I want to cover, and then we can go to post time skip. We have to cover more about Jace here because we didn't talk enough about him. And his name is Jace Talis. He's just part of the Piltover Academy, which is just, I'm assuming, is just like the absolute pinnacle of technology in the modern world. And he's got his homie, his professor, Heimerdinger, and Heimerdinger's assistant, Victor.
Yeah.
Also, like, all of these guys are part of the League of Legends lore in some way, which is just really cool. Like,
Victor,
as I read,
Victor's
more about
the dean's assistant. I don't think he's Heimer, like, because Heimerdinger is not the dean, right? I'm pretty sure he introduces himself as the assistant to the dean.
I don't know for a fact, but the Wikipedia episode page said Heimerdinger's assistant.
I took it as it was Heimerdinger's because he has like the keys
that
to
makes
his
sense.
Office.
I think it is.
That makes
sense.
Yeah.
And he goes with him to put away like the notes and all that stuff. And you know, they lock it away together and they're talking. Mm-hmm. I took it like it was his assistant.
So
I fucking love that James. Heimerdinger has its own little animal. Yeah. That was amazing.
That's as furry as
You know what's fucking hilarious is one of the times that Heimerdinger's like entering the room, the first time they introduce the animal. Someone in the room is like, hello, professor. I'm like, this fucking guy's professor, too.
Heimerdinger's
and then
great.
They show Heimerdinger. I was like, oh, my God.
So Heimerdinger is just ageless, dude. That guy just can be 7,000 years old.
Yeah. Little cat man.
So just curiously, when we were talking about, like, at the end of episode one, Luke was mentioning this topsider. Did you guys think that this topsider was going to be so, I guess, goody two shoes? Like, did you assume that he was kind of going to be an asshole because he was a topsider? He was going to be kind of privileged and like kind of look down on the downsiders? Or were there any preconceived notions that you guys had of him that you were kind of surprised at when meeting him a little bit more?
I think for me, it was a little bit of preconceived just because Luke's a protagonist. If you would have said like perspective, then maybe I would have thought. And you also made sure to let us know that there are good and bad people upside and downside. Yeah. Like I said earlier, 100% I didn't even think that it would be the person that they robbed. Like I thought that the person they robbed was going to be like Heimerdinger, like someone that would be like an older professor type, like, you know, the typical, like, I'm the lab, like the lab guy, the nerd that's older and working on my trinkets in the lab, you know. That's who I took it as. So like literally I took it like it was Heimerdinger's office or something. So I wouldn't expect that it was Jace, who was young and freaking good looking man, dude. He's
so Kathleen, this is what I was mentioning before Jimmy jumped on, where I'm curious about, I guess Jimmy, you answer this too. Does Jace remind you of a cartoon version of someone?
Young or old Jace?
Just both.
Jace.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at it.
So funny.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know if it's the right one, but there is a person that immediately comes to
mind. Hold on one sec.
Are we talking? Okay. But first, before we do this, are you talking about like a TV, an actor? Or
someone
like
famous
a,
that okay, I wait, can, okay. I old literally, either one, they both look either the same to me as... I just see this person like without a doubt. Like I, in my head, I'm like trying to take notes, typing this guy's name. Because
it's too big of a hint, right? I feel like if I just say
I guess not.
Biggest friend of the pod.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah, that's
oh, it's
good.
Jason?
Does it not look like Jason?
That's the first person I was going to say, but I was like, it can't be that. But yay.
There's a picture of him in his suit that he's going to be giving when he's giving his speech when he's older, where I'm looking at it right now and I can see Jason Diaz.
Jason Diaz, by the way. Yes. Yeah. It's dude. Yeah. It's you're going to see it for the rest of the time now. His voice is a little different, but Jason
he has
Diaz
a little bit more of a
as Jace.
Yeah, he has a little bit more of like the 5 o'clock shadow when he's older.
Yeah.
And Jason will do that sometimes for certain shows, and that's when I really see it. Like I could see that.
Jason
I actually
Diaz,
was thinking,
that handsome son of a bitch.
Yeah, Jason's a handsome son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is handsome son of a bitch, and that's why I said it. But funnily enough, I was actually thinking for a second, older towards the end of Entourage, Vinny. Chase but when he has the short haircut.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, that was gonna be my guess. Like I wish I could show the camera, but that looks like Vinny Chase to me.
So my thing is with Jace, I know the voice actor like really well. He is in every season of Lucifer and he is Jesus in True Blood as well. So I can't unhear it. So it kind of like screws up my this person looks like this person type deal because it's only him to me, even though they don't really look that alike, but he's the other guy's handsome too, but not as handsome as Jason Diaz.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this off topic kind of question. When you're dealing with now, I guess it's not going to work for animes because, you know, that's dubbed over and that's not usually like anybody like a famous actor is going to take over for the voice. Like we're talking about Arcane has Haley Steinfeld, Family Guy, things like that. Is it if a famous actor comes in, someone like really noticeable, like to Kathleen, it's the Lucifer guy to me and you guys, it's Haley Steinfeld. Are they and I guess like Spider-Verse and stuff, too, like because they were are they doing their job? More so when you know it's them or when you're able to just be entrenched in the story and not realize it's them. Because I will say right now, I know it's Haley Steinfeld because I know it's Haley Steinfeld, but I don't hear Haley Steinfeld. And maybe I don't really know her that
because
well.
Because you don't
be
know
honest.
Her that well.
Yeah, but
she sounds
just
like Haley Steinfeld.
I only know her from Hawkeye. But what I'm trying to say is like there are times when you're watching something and it's a voice actor and you're just like, I can't really blend it here. I can't blur these lines. And with her, like, again, I only know her from like Hawkeye and stuff. So, and I think she was in Bumblebee.
She was in Bumblebee.
I didn't watch Pitch Perfect.
Well, you're missing out.
Two or three. I watched one. I loved one. but yeah, I watched Two Hammered at Penn State with you guys on your birthday, Luke. But
there are. To answer your question, though, I feel like there are times where a voice actor or voice actress, when I hear them, I'm like, they don't really fit this character. And it kind of maybe makes me take a little bit longer to get adjusted to that kind of tone. But
yeah,
I would say specifically for Arcane, I guess Haley Steinfeld, I wasn't too aware of, I guess, when I first started watching Arcane. Maybe like I knew of her, but she wasn't like as big as she is now, I guess. So I don't, but now definitely on my rewatch, I'm like, that's Haley Steinfeld. Like, I can't not see it.
It definitely could just be that I hardly know her.
That's part of it, but I didn't even know it was her until after I watched the whole show. And also, she was pretty praised for her voice acting and as Vi. And I think she might be maybe the best. I don't really know. It's hard to judge.
Is she Spider-Gwen too?
Yes, she's
just doing it big.
This was also the time period where Hawkeye came out. So all three of those things, Haley was in three of the top 10 shows, like at the time,
right.
Or top 10 media things because of Into the Spider-Verse or something like that. There was something weird, whatever. But let me take us back real quick, and then we can go to the time skip. Caitlin, that's the only other person pre-time skip. Caitlin, and then Mel Medarda is her name. She's the counselor that kind of helps Jace facilitate the creation of Hextech, which we'll talk more about that post time skip. So I just want your guys' like initial takes on Mel and then Caitlin as well, because Caitlin was there, I think, even in the pilot for a second, and she had the interesting connections of how Jace was connected to like the counselors. If you didn't pick up on what that was Jace was being sponsored by his research was being sponsored by Caitlin's family, who was just high upperclassmen of Piltover. So that's how she always knew Jace as just like a fam, basically a family friend.
Yeah,
that's how they're all connected.
They're all hot. That's what I like.
So it, yeah, until she came along, I was like, all the under. Okay, what are we calling them again? The down lowers.
Let's just call them the down unders because we've been doing that.
The down unders.
All the down unders were like the ones with like the. Not deformities, but like different color hair and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Like Jace looks pretty normal. A lot of the enforcers look pretty normal. And then we have, boom, we have the blue hair. So yeah. She's the outlier. But anyway, I have a couple more things about Jace because I don't want to gloss over even young Jace. Like there is the scene where, you know, they're in the council. You knew he was going to stand up for himself. And I'm happy he did, even like Humberdinger.
Humberdinger. That's his name now.
Humberdinger was like, dude, just be a good boy and we'll let you pass. But it didn't even seem like they were really gonna let him pass. Like it seemed like for a second his mom had to come in and be like, please. And then he was like, yo, I'm defending myself here. I don't care what happens. Great character piece for him.
Mom, though.
Well, the mom was just trying to protect him.
In
that moment of saving him, good for her. But afterwards,
it was a Hail Mary.
But afterwards, when he's like, you were literally saved by magic. And she's like, that was so long ago. It's like, you were saved by magic.
But she was saying magic won't save you now. And it was great that he popped back and was like, well, to be honest, it will. It could if you let me do my research. But
no faith. Terrible parent.
Yeah, I mean, she loves her son. But yeah, when it came to Jace, I wasn't expecting like the next thing is to see him get ready to Tommen off the side of a building. So Victor jumping in. I saw Victor in the crowd like everyone else did, and I thought he was going to be some ominous bad guy when he's watching somebody who wants to like steal the hex tech, not somebody who was going to be his homie. So that actually got me, caught me by surprise a little bit. But you know, when it comes to the Jay stuff, I'm glad he's going to be the one bringing in the magic. I wasn't expecting, you guys did say like, you know, expect some magic, but I wasn't expecting like, hey, there's going to be a wizard, but you know, there's a wizard and he's going to bring the mom pretty much back to life. Then they're going to teleport and like that kind of stuff. I wasn't expecting it to go there. Mm-hmm. Which totally 100% fine. I just was surprised that that's what I saw. And I think it's a great storyline with Jace, like being saved by it or his mom being saved by it. And he's trying to harness it. You know, I'm glad that he defended himself and he's just a genius who ends up being what he deserves to be when it gets to be episode 4.
My prediction for Jace, and I guess this is like a long-term prediction, is that I feel like it's a pretty obvious one. His stuff is too powerful. Like when he's presenting it and it basically like chops my Humberdinger's cat or dog or whatever, like it's like obviously this is dangerous, right? Yeah. You can't just like give it to the masses, right? Mm-hmm. You can't give the blue marble to everybody. He's got to gatekeep. But it's not going to go that way. Like he's going to give it to everybody. He's going to jump the gun. It's going to go terribly.
Yeah. And Humberdinger's going to be right.
He's too good for his own. Like he sees the good.
He's too much of a revolutionary.
He's naive.
And he's naive. Yes.
Exactly. Perfect word. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, again, we'll get into that. But I thought Humberdinger was going to freak out more than he actually didn't freak out. He was like, whoa, that's sweet. But, you know, we'll wait 10 years.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, are you kidding me? This is the Infinity Gauntlet, bro. You're about to kill somebody. Like, especially the laser is like, dude, these can be weaponized in 2 seconds. You're telling me, oh, that's great for the coal people. And this is great for this. It's like, yeah, you literally could chop someone in half with that laser.
And then the council has the audacity to be like, oh, like, can they be weaponized? And then he's just like, yes, they can be. It's just like, obviously. But I want to get, Jamie, I'm glad you brought it up because I want to get Kathleen's opinion on Victor as well, because I also was kind of getting little sketchy vibes from him too. But the way he was in the council, just kind of watching, he was in the darkness a little bit. And then even when he meets Jace and introduces himself, he still seems a little bit off. So I just wanted to hear what Kathleen also thought of Victor.
I got all that as well. Just a little vibes. I think he wants to kiss Jace. That's like a vibe I get. But, you know, I'm always rooting for that shit. So I'm a little biased. But yeah, I don't really have much to say other than like, thank God for him. I mean, Jace was about to, like Jimmy said, Tommen himself. Like he believed in Jace. We obviously all believed in Jace. We witnessed it happen. So we know his heart was in the right place. His science was in the right place. Like it sucks when everyone just like fuck off to you. Right. So in general, I just like Victor because he saved Jace and he helped Jace. So
yeah,
I saw the sketchy, but I was just going along with it. Honestly,
I just hope. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to change the subject but kind of lead to a different discussion.
OK, so all I'm going to say to finish off our Victor stuff for now is I hope that he doesn't turn bad, because I can see, you know, the trajectory of, you know, we saw coming into episode 4 and even the earlier episodes where he's like, I'm disabled. And, you know, he's basically the partner of Jace. But he's the mm-hmm. silent partner. It's almost like Walter White when they created Dark Matter, or what was it called? Their gray matter, their business. And then Walter White gets pushed to the side, and then his partner becomes the big dog. You know, even when Jace is about to give a speech, Jace is being a great guy. And he's like, yo, you're my partner. You should come out here. You know, and he was like, no, I don't think they want to see me, or they shouldn't see me. And it's almost like the whole like, he looks down on himself, I guess, because he has like the cane and whatever it is. And
he's from, and we learned too that he's from the underground too.
So yeah, that was cool.
Yes.
He also has that psychology.
So that might be the other reason, right? So I took it almost like it's the disabled thing, but it could also be like nobody real. I'm just the assistant because I'm from the underground. It could be that as well. Going back to Jace being the man, like even the second that, you know, Victor brings him in, and they have that quick talk, and it saves Jace's life. And then they start doing the equations, and they're like, yo, we got to break into Hummerdinger's office and get the rest of this stuff. And he's saying like, oh, I'm, you know, we'll do this. And I don't exactly remember what he says, but it's something under Jace. And he's like, no, you're my partner now. You're my co-partner. When really it's like Jace did everything and Victor's just like helping him at this moment. He's doing is just helping him. And he's like, no, we're partners now, man. Like, it's like Jace wants to give him the credit. And I just have a feeling that I don't want the trajectory where Victor eventually is like, no one cared about me. No one wants to give me the credit. And, you know, boom. And there's the bad guy.
Victor's a very good piece to add this early, because that's the power of this time skip, is like, we're all set up. There's so much that changes. I guess we can kind of get there as we're going through now. Like the time skip happens and the Wikipedia says years, several years. It doesn't really clarify the specific amount.
It's got to be a good amount, because like Powder and Jinx are
five plus.
I mean, her hair is very, very long, which, you know, that could be whatever they want when it comes to animation and anime. They do what they want with that kind of stuff.
I love the hair.
She's definitely a lot older looking.
Kathleen, let me once you finish, let me send you some TikToks of people cosplaying as Jinx. It's like, it was my favorite thing, like in that era. Like people just kill that look, because she's just insane.
She's so badass.
So let's do this, because now we're at the time skip. Vi's gonna be in jail this whole time period. Like she was just,
and we don't get that until the very end,
right? And so there's not so much there except for predictions for you guys, I guess.
I really thought that was Vi. I didn't realize it was just a pink-haired person. Because when I saw the firelights.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, as soon as they looked at one of the barrels and said, we got to get rid of it, I was like, these are the good guys.
Yeah.
This is going to be Vi. Like, this is for sure going to be Vi.
I said that too. Yep.
So when the pink hair happened, to this day, until you just said she was in jail this whole time, I was that was Vi.
But you gotta remember that she's having that like that moment a couple times when she's like, oh, it's not her, 100%. It's just a pink hair girl. It's like, dude, and she's, you know,
let's talk about that, because I think it's masterful the way they treat Jinx insanity, and it's the best way to describe it is Harley Quinn. But it's even better because it's cartoon, and like they add the voices in the back, like the whispering
Milo's
voices
talking. See Milo's
let me go on my thing here, because I fucking love Jinx so much. They give you those like little whispering voices in the background, the jump cuts, the music, and just like the flashes, how they use the Into the Spider-Verse style of animation is so good at highlighting how unhinged. How crazy she, unhinged, that's the word I was looking for, unhinged she is. And I've been waiting for this moment, because like she is just so entertaining when she's like that. She's a wild card. You have no fucking idea what she's going to do at any time or what she's thinking. And it's going to play for some really good predictions, I guess, we can ask for you guys to give us.
My gosh, I would not have guessed that that's how she turned out. Like, you know, I didn't guess that they were going to be against each other. But my cookie cutter guess of what she was going to turn into once we saw that Silco saved her was just going to be like, hey, I'm on Silco's side. Sorry. Like, you left me and I'm older now and I'm more capable. I'm on his side, not unhinged, like going crazy, super, super capable and badass and fully unhinged on his side, unhinged. Like, not just like I'm your follower. It's like whatever he believes in, she has the craziness too to add on to whatever he believes in, Silco.
And she has a little bit of that genius in her still. Like,
oh yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. All of her bombs and everything, that's what we predicted for her. Mm-hmm. It's just I mean, her freaking bombs are amazing. You know, she's definitely unhinged because she gives herself up every single time she does these bombs with the monkey face. Everyone knows, well, not everyone knows yet, but she leaves her mark like the Riddler every time.
Love
now.
The tag.
Yeah, I love the tag too.
Yeah, the tag was badass. The first time you see it in the boat, well, the ship or whatever, the flying ship, mm-hmm. was that's like the first reveal that she's going to be the one to pop out. And I was like, oh my gosh.
She's
yeah.
a badass, man. Everything about her.
I fucking love the hoverboards that the mm-hmm. Firelights use when the scene, like when they come out of the tunnels and then they just drop down. It's so
cool.
It's so sick. And the masks, I think, are really cool. But Kathleen, to go back to what you were saying, I think it makes it confusing for like the audience to think that that was Vi, because the first face that you see is Vi's face
yes.
on the person's body. And then it's kind of like flashing back and forth between who it actually is right. and Vi. Mm,
the craziness.
And, yeah. And so you just can't, you're not, no, you don't know it's Vi until like pretty much,
yeah.
or you don't know it's not Vi until pretty much the end.
Right.
Yeah. And I think I was just like, whoa, like probably yeah. writing my notes, being like, that was Vi, and didn't
ready.
Look up again when, yeah. you know, but.
And ready for the big showdown too, probably, like they're going to clash here.
I also love
four, baby clashing.
That Jinx is like a angsty teen with like crop top.
Yeah.
Like the long hair, the crop top is great. Her like lair, I would say, that's like neon tagged all over the place. Was yeah. that a mechanical Milo behind her? Like,
yeah.
a,
dude, it's yes. That's adding to the unhingedness.
The
all
drawing,
of it.
Yeah,
of, like the visuals of behind her head when she's hearing the voices, like you said, with the mechanical thing. I was like, yo,
she's talking to herself. It's
she's
so
she sees
good,
the goggles,
man.
Like
so
yeah, it's
good.
Amazing.
She is talking to Milo in her head, legitimately.
Yeah.
Like the conversation is yeah. with what how she picture it goes with Milo.
And
yeah.
this is why I was convinced, Kathleen, that you were gonna come out and be like, "Fuck Jinx, like I hate her." But when you were texting, I was like, "Hell yeah!" Because this is why I wanted to ask you guys at the end of the original pitch down. After one episode, like who you fucking with, where we think we're going with V
yeah.
or Vi and Jay and Powder at the time. And I think you both said you have to kind of say Vi after the pilot.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have enough.
I said Vi, but Kathleen said Powder. Yeah.
You said Powder because you liked the potential that was there for her.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, she has no freaking idea how haywire this is going to go.
I know.
I guess we can also get into what we were briefly talking about earlier, the relationship between her and Silco. To answer your questions, it is a father-daughter relationship. It's just, I don't know why they go the route of like making it sexualized. She makes it weird.
Yeah.
That's just, I think that's her, like her very outgoing, flirty personality, if you want to call it that. It's very bubbly, but that's probably going to be the one thing, Kathleen, for you specifically, that you're just the
I don't
only
think
thing
that
I think
into it, though.
It's only
not
a couple, like there's only a couple probably more times that we get it, like that weirdness, but it gets a little bit better towards the end,
much.
I think.
Yeah. I didn't think too much into it. I was like,
nor
I know this
you.
Is just innocent and like yeah. an anime, so they can really do whatever they want. It's not like a real human was like doing that. If they instructed a real human to do that, I'd be like, they're fucking. But
just, yeah, part but, of her nonchalant, yeah. like even in that scene before she jumps down, she's just like laying on that, she, like the crossbar up there and just
I
like kind of listening. And then even in her lair later when Silco comes in, she's just tossing bombs down. Like she's just so, everything about her is so entertaining. And this is the perfect medium for this kind of character, because you can't do this for Suicide Squad Harley Quinn. Like you need to be able to see into their minds, and
yeah.
and the crazy cinematography allows them to do that. And they even, I didn't really bring it up pre-time skip, but it started right when Vi like punched her and walked away. And she started like saying crazy things and the jump cutting was starting. But you don't really notice because you don't know she's going to go crazy
right.
the first time you're watching. But it's just I can't talk about her enough. I love Jinx.
I think the yeah, go ahead, Kathleen.
I was gonna completely change the subject.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
fine.
I was gonna say that I really, really enjoyed the like Caitlyn through line of her like being a detective. I love that she's like, I'm not being like doing my family bullshit. I'm gonna go my own way, be an enforcer, and be like a detective. Like, I fucking love that. Also, this is probably absolutely nothing, but at one point they showed her mom. And she was wearing earrings, and I was like, those look like the like gem that Jace has, the earrings that she was wearing. I don't think that's actually anything, but just in case, I'm going to speak it out into the universe.
Nice.
And if it, and she ends up just like
something
out of her ear holes, then
you heard it. Yeah, if you had those unstable things on your ears at all times, man, your head's about to explode.
Yeah, you just shake your head and you're just.
Caitlyn is going to be one of your favorite characters, Kathleen. I can confidently
I love
say
her.
That.
Yeah.
I
thought she was going to be another casualty for a second when the bomb went off. And let's talk about that, because that scene, holy shit. And that's another one with the animation that just makes it so much better when she, you know, it says the subtitle says baby voice, but like we were guessing it was going to be Jinx, but you know, it says, babe, help me, help me, help me. And then all of a sudden it's like, help me, I put some dynamite. And then it starts like, you know, actually telling, oh my gosh.
The
and then you're looking
goblin.
Around. Yeah. And then you're looking around, you see all the gadgets hanging and she's like, oh my God, get out. And the whole thing blows. I thought it was going to kill her. Like I thought it would have killed her right
kill
there.
Kill six enforcers, which is a huge deal for Piltover, and it's going to have some dangerous repercussions, which is how Silco lays it out to her at the end, but it kind of gets curbed because she has next level arcane technology right now. So
yeah,
that whole ending scene, we might as well finish out the Jinx stuff too, because like she like hugged Silco and he was about to fucking yell at her. He's like, okay, this might, you just gave me like a nuke. This might be okay.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying earlier in the episode, like, we're so behind now. Like we are like ages behind, and now he has this and he's like, well, we just got ahead, bitch. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was going to like kick her ass. I was like, do it, actually. Do it. It was so funny when the explosion happened, Alex was sitting next to me, who was only sitting next to me for like the back half of four. Like she didn't see anything else. I was like, Powder did that. And she was like, what? That was insane.
I love how into it you are. I love it. Yeah. But I will say, I love the shot early on with Caitlyn after the time skip, when she's on the ship and we are seeing her detective skills, how she's kind of like Sherlock Holmesing everything looking at it. She's like tracing the gun and then like realizes that one of the goons probably got hit and went downstairs and was hiding. I just think she's an amazing character, but I totally thought she was going to die in that moment. Absolutely too. And then that would have added another layer for Jace from being like a good guy to now being like, okay, maybe switching the mindset of let's change the hex tech from helping to more so military, but thankfully she survived. But I really like that shot of her just proving that she's a detective and like Kathleen said, just so committed to her job, even though everyone just wants her to be safe and just like stay indoors, like mom and Jace all want her to just be safe, but she knows her role and she knows that she can help. And the other big thing I want to mention with the ship too, is we see Marcus is the one that pulls Caitlyn from the scene of the crime, I guess you want to call it. And so that led me to believe, at least, that Marcus is now probably doing more deals with Silco, even though he should have probably learned from the first time when Grayson like got killed and everything. He probably should have learned his lesson from working with Silco, but it seems like he's also in on it.
And he still seems like the big dog liaison, I guess, between.
Yeah, like it looks like he might have now taken over the role of Grayson, which sucks because he's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
Also, the last thing on Caitlyn I'll say is she is going to be a great facilitator of plot going forward, because she is the one that ends this episode by going to Vi's cell to get some sort of information about what the hell this thing that she's tracking is. And yeah, so that's going to be great. That's going to be great.
Last question. Sorry. One for character wise is Madara, because we saw her. She was definitely a big supporter for Jace's hex tech and, you know, obviously let him and Victor into Hummerdinger's lab and everything and was very supportive. But we do get that quick interaction in the episode 4 of her kind of talking about potential investors to Jace. So I don't know if you guys have any like thoughts on her? Like, is she going to be good, bad, or is she just, you know, looking to make a quick buck kind of ideal? I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Madara a little bit more before we move on.
Mel Madara.
I don't think she has Jace's interest. You know, I really don't think she has his interest in mind. I think she's just thinking about herself and thinking about how she can increase her standing. Yeah. You know, she saves them and sees that she's the one who saved them, right? When they were getting almost about to get caught breaking into the office. And then she's the one who announces that, well, I want him to be in the council. And we could talk about that, too, in a second. But yeah, I think she's really just thinking all about herself and how the Hextech can improve her standing. And, you know, if it improves the council standing as and you know, the nation standing as a higher power, then there you go. Like, as the nation grows, so does the council, so does she. And then she'll probably want to, you know, move up in the council. It cracks me up that the main council guy's still playing with that kid toy from the freaking second episode or whatever.
I love that too, yeah.
How about the Rick and Morty Gear Wars guy that's like on the
Gear. Oh, yeah.
Gearhead, whatever.
For me, all of what Jimmy said, I agree. And also, I think she's bored. Like, I truly think in the beginning, when you first meet her, she's like,
ugh. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jace comes in and he's like, I have new magic. And she's like, ooh, I think she likes to stir the pot.
So to say, like, what Hextech did for the world was it made teleporting basically possible.
Yeah.
Which in the time of that would just be enormous, such a game changer. So that's why it just jump started this progress day, like, and it jump started Piltover's gap between them and Zaun, which is, or I guess them and the Down Unders. So that's kind of like the huge change that happened in those 5 years. And they like advanced like decades.
Last thing I'll say is I personally was getting a little bit of potential ship vibes for Jace and Madara.
Correct.
Like, I know Jace and Kate are kind of like friends and everything, and they're platonic, and they're the obvious 1-2 shippers, but I think there's still potential here for Madara and Jace.
What about Jace and Hummerdinger?
Always.
I think Hummerdinger is in love with his pet. If
I mean, I guess it remains to be seen, and we have a lot of time still, but there could be a side of this where she's just, and Mel is just younger like Jace, and she's like a forward thinker, and she's just doing the whole, like, you know, these old people need to, you know, they're stuck in their ways, and we need to revolutionize, you know, the way the world's going to be going forward. And maybe that is all she is, and then that wouldn't make her bad, obviously. And, you know, we'll find that out. But for now, I'm taking it like she has her own interests at heart, and it would be worse if Jace gets into a relationship with someone like that. So I'm hoping there's no ship there.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to more deaths. I just
you didn't
like
have enough
it.
Already? My God. Yeah, they could literally not kill anybody for the rest of the show. And I'd be like, well, they killed a lot of people.
I know, but I just feel like there's just no way that's.
No, I agree.
You know, they could even introduce you to people and then kill them off. You know what I mean? We might not even know the people that are going to die.
Not even halfway. You know? There's a lot to look forward to. Some of these characters are going to have some crazy development, some crazy plot lines here. You guys don't even know anything about Nuvi yet, besides the fact that she's just a badass punch in a wall. And she is like Vander 2.0.
And she looks really good when she looks over her shoulder.
Yeah.
All right. So,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, before we wrap this up, I think we need to talk a little bit more about the new Jace, the older Jace.
Yep.
And then also, I have a quick question for you, and I'll do that now since you brought up Vi again. Has she been in jail since she got grabbed by Marcus?
It's never verbally clarified, but I'm based on the Wikipedia episode page, it is.
Silco says when she has that conversation, and she's like, "Oh, it looked like Vi, and no, I'm fine," and, you know, and she's going crazy or whatever, and Silco's like, Vi's out of the picture. She, you know, that I guess that's what he meant. So he knows that she's in jail and she's just been gone. And that
Jinx has no idea, like, if Vi's alive, dead, like where she is.
And that,
like,
even further confirms the Marcus and Silco working together thing, because then clearly Silco probably got word that Marcus had captured her, and then was like, "You are going to watch this girl, and that's all you're going to be good for."
Right. Yeah. And just won't tell Jinx that, obviously, she's alive.
Wouldn't benefit that motherfucking wild card. I feel like that's just asking for it. Okay. So you said you had one other thing before?
Jace. No, I was just, older Jace. Okay. I was just saying Jace talk, and then I'm ready to wrap it. But, you know, we didn't really talk too much about the fact that he's obviously the big dog now. He's the golden boy. I'm glad that we found out that he's still Jace. He's still the good guy that we like. You know, I could see in the beginning trajectory where he got arrogant or something like that. He didn't. I'm glad he still did the whole Victor, you're my partner, come on stage with me. You know, he had the humbleness when Hummerdinger, they both find out that he's not going to give the speech. Jace is going to give the speech. And he says, no, you should do it. Like, I can't replace you. Mm-hmm. And then Hummerdinger has his back and says, no, you do it. I'm glad he seems like good boy Jace still. I do want him to stay that way. And
he's hot.
And he's a counselor now. He got elected. Yeah, they made a new position for
him. They raised him to counselor. And he's basically sitting here like, he didn't want it. Like, he's just like, whoa, okay.
And his role is to basically protect the city against the misuse of Hextech, which obviously Jinx stole at the end. So, like, that's going to protect against this foreign technology because he's kind of the only one that can really deal with it besides Victor. And yeah, like, it's like them too.
And now I can talk a little bit more theories. It's not a huge theory, but it's getting back into the Victor thing. And we have a situation where Jace is talking. Jace and Victor are talking to Hummerdinger, and they show the Infinity Gauntlet, and they're pretty much weapons of mass destruction here. Yep. And they're both blind to it. And Hummerdinger, surprisingly to me, like I said, was like, "Oh, that's pretty sweet, guys." But you know, we're gonna wait 10 years. When I thought he was gonna be like, "Jesus Christ, this is freaking killing machines." Yeah. But either way, he says, "Don't do it." But then we see that Jace and Victor are gonna do it. At least that's what we think. Then Jace gets on stage and he turns back into good boy Jace and he doesn't do it. And there's the pan to Victor where Victor's like, whoa, like, not, I don't know if it's pissed, but he's like surprised and he's like kind of disappointed that he didn't do it.
Because Mel is also pissed at that moment because her and the investors leave because they were hoping for the big reveal.
Yeah. Easily enough, Jace gets the rest of the crowd bumping with his statement. But Victor here is kind of showing me like, could this be a reflection or parallel to Ander? And why did I do that?
Ander.
Vander. I'm catching myself. I don't know what I'm doing. Vander and Silka, where we have Jace and Victor, where Jace is going to stay the revolutionary, and he wants to keep increasing the tech, and he loves it, and he wants to make it as good as it can be. But Victor's like, yo. Push. Yeah. While Jace is staying cautious and we need to protect everybody. And he makes that decision on stage that Hummerdinger's correct. Victor could break off from him at one point because he believes, nah, man, let's just do it. We have the power. Maybe like for a second, I was like, I don't know what his disability technically is, but I was like thinking that he like wants it done because like when he says 10 years is a long time, 10 years is a long time. To Hummerdinger, it's nothing because he's 7,000 years old. But for a second, I was going like, oh, is Victor like dying or something? And he kind of just wants to get his, you know, he wants to get it out there before he dies. I don't think we got any of that.
I was sorry to cut you off. I was going to say we didn't get any of that. But you can tell, too, even after the time skip, like, sure, he has the cane always with him, but he definitely does look sickly,
like more haggard.
Not even just the leg. Like, you could see the bags under the eyes and like the wrinkles are really hitting him more so than anyone else. But if you
I buy into that, Jam, for sure.
Okay.
Because I'm in on that.
He did react a little bit more defensively to the 10 years news than Jace did. Like, Jace was definitely taken back, but Victor seemed more like, no, like now we need this now kind of.
And, you know, and Victor has those ties to the underground and you're the down under, and it could be the equal or the leveling out, equalizer, I guess is the word to say, if Victor went to Silco with some of the tech.
Yeah,
you know, that would be crazy. And going back to my theory, he's like, I've seen these episodes, but you got me thinking, bro. but that's the thing. Like, he going back to my theory about, I hope he doesn't go bad because of like, he thinks down on himself and he believes everybody else does too because he's a down under and he's a cripple. You know, he'll never be the golden boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if that's going to go there, but that's my theory.
Could Victor think that this tech could eventually like heal him if they keep working on it?
That's a good thought. Yeah, that's a good thought. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't, because the whole point of what happened to make Jace want to use it is that it saved his mom's life.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't it?
So I'll use this time to remind you guys that when this show was initially written, it was just going to be anthology. Like, it was just going to be a front to back story, then move to a completely other people, but still called Arcane. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about predictions, because we're going to get, if not hard resolutions for everything, soft, where they still could continue if they decide to rewrite the process because of how popular the show was. But there's going to be a pretty much soft close for almost everything.
Yeah.
So like in terms of plot.
And I guess the last thing, and you guys can give us as much as you can, and just correct me if I'm wrong about what I'm saying here, but Arcane is a, it's a name for something, right?
It's in the magic. World.
Magic.
It's the magic. Yes, that's what I meant.
Because they do say, like, stay away from the arc. The arcana or arcane?
No, they said arcane.
They say the arcane.
It's just the arcane.
It's just magic. Yeah, mana.
It's
magic.
Their magic. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Okay. A couple questions that we can leave. And this is just going to be quick hitters for you guys. Because next time we talk, you guys are going to have seen everything. So this is some board predictions here.
This is it.
I'm going to take us back to that question I asked at the end of the pilot. Who do you guys prefer as characters right now between Vi and Jinx? Which is kind of hard to ask. But
that's hard because we don't see Vi.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Vi only because I'm excited to see where she is after the jump. She's only going to be more badass, more angry, more ready to fucking rock. And I don't think that she knows that Powder / Jinx is this absolutely crazy person. So like, she may just be wanting to get out, to get back to her. She doesn't even know that she's a fucking nutcase. But I will say that Jinx is so fun to watch. Like, you can't go wrong with either. So for the board, I'm saying, like, can't go wrong with either. But I'm going to switch to Vi only because I'm pumped and she's our real protagonist. She's going to have to win Jinx back. I feel like she has a long road ahead of her, you know.
This is funny, Kathleen. I'm going to steal your answer from the first one, but flip it. So I'm saying that my answer will probably be after the finale, Vi, because of the potential. Because now she has even more potential with what she's going to become. But in episode 4, we did not see her. Hey, she has some great potential from what we saw with that look over the shoulder, man. Looking like a badass, some extra tattoos going on. She looks like she's going to F some people up. But she took a little bit of an L at the end of episode 3 with how she reacted to Jinx, who, you know, in the entire, you know, time we know her, she's so caring and nurturing to her sister, you know, like a big sister / mother to her. And yeah, I 100% understand that, like, you just saw your father figure and then two of your family members, brothers, best friends killed. And then you find out it's Jinx who did it. I still wouldn't punch her in the face. I don't know if I would even say to a crying, like, God, like, it hurts so bad to know that she's supposed to be so little and she's sitting there crying, being like, I was just trying to help, like that, you know, punch her in the face and saying, like, you are Jinx. You know, that hurts. So that's an L. I'm taking that L for Vi. And Kathleen nailed it. Jinx is just so fun to watch. I think that she is going to stay so fun to watch, but I think that Vi will have the potential. Yeah. Vi will have the potential towards the end. She's our protagonist, hopefully. You know, I'm guessing she's our protagonist. Okay. Well, I'm not guessing anything like that anymore.
I like that because it's going to be fun to compare all your three answers between them at the end of the one. So another one, this is just a, give me two names here. If you have to predict any two people in the show that are going to kiss before the end of the finale.
I was going to make you ask me this. So.
Yeah, but you already gave one. Is that like one you want, or is that one you think that's going to happen?
Wait, what did you say? You thought
she said Victor and Jace.
I think Jace is straight. I think Victor's gay. I think Jace is straight. Okay. I think they want it to be Victor and Caitlin, like you said, but I think it's going to be Mel.
Said Jason, Caitlin.
Jason, Caitlin, sorry. But I think it's actually going to be Mel, but I think, like, Caitlin's end game, but I think what we're gonna actually see first is Mel and Jace.
Okay, Jace Bing.
She's gonna seduce him into releasing the tech.
I'm writing Mel and Jace with Caitlin and Jace being end game. That's what I'm writing as your answer.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna say Jace and Kate is end game.
Okay,
I want to go with that. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll check back in next one. And then my last thing that I need you guys to predict here, and this is an important one, is what do you think the end game between Jinx and Vi is going to be? Are they going to fight? Are they not going to fight? Are they going to be friends? Are they going to kill each other? Are they going to kiss? Which one?
Kiss as long as Jinx doesn't kiss Silco, I'm good, dude.
I just want to know, like, if you think there's going to be death, reconciliation, neither, both, whatever.
Oh, it's reconciliation. The end game here, you just said it yourself, like, they're going to give us a hard resolution, pretty much. The hard resolution is them coming back together. Like, neither of them are dying, maybe a close to death. I think maybe, like, there will be some sort of epic battle between the two of them, but at the end, like, one's gonna pull their punch. They're not gonna fucking kill him.
Reconciliation with no death is what I got you down for.
Yeah, I can see, I'm envisioning in my head right now, and I'm seeing a scene where Jinx is beating the shit out of Vi.
Yeah,
like, pounding her on the ground while Vi is saying, "I won't fight you or I won't kill you. You know, you're my sister," that kind of whole thing. And then, you know, Jinx is losing her insanity as she's punching her, and then finally she lets go. I kind of want like them to just like stay hating each other and just like have, I can't think of it all the top of my head, but there is fiction where, you know, you have these sisters that are close, or whatever, siblings, best friends that are close, and then they become enemies, and they become the deadliest of enemies forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that happening, like, but I do think that, like, the insanity part of Jinx, the Harley Quinn-ness of her, is because, like, really, it's all about, like, I love you, Vi, and you left me, and I just, what? Because that's a V-Vi. V-Vi.
Kane, like, and the Undertaker.
No, Kane came in as he came in as the enemy. And then they became brothers after.
No, those are good answers, man. Yeah. I cannot wait to have this conversation with these notes.
Add this, because I want to see if they change.
Okay.
Just top three characters right now, front to back. And then I want to see if they change by the end of the season.
Okay, so Kathleen, do you want to go first? I'm just trying to remember what I said. So I said first, I think, and then Ander, Jesus.
Dude,
Vander.
Oh my God.
I know, what the hell?
Quit it, Jimmy.
So it's Vi, then Vander, and then who did I? I guess I went to Powder. Did I go to Powder?
I went Powder, Vi, Vander.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the problem, because we did see Vander be a badass, and it sucks that I can't see any more of him. So I'm going to give him the number one right now.
Hell yeah. Because
he's going to phase out probably, because I don't think we'll see any real important. Anything a huge substance of a flashback that's going to make him stay number one throughout the rest of the five episodes or so. But for now, we're going to do some Vander, we're going to do some Jinx, and then we're going to do some Vi.
Love to hear it. Kathleen?
I'm keeping it at those three as well. I hope that... Actually, no. You know what? I'm going to... I feel like Caitlyn is going to infiltrate at some point, maybe,
okay,
not yet. I'm keeping Vander for the same reason as Jimmy. I'm going to say Vi, Jinx, Vander again. I changed it.
What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Hummerdinger. Actually, you know what's hilarious? You know, we're not seeing this on screen per se, but I'm going, like, there's like two people that are like brothers in fiction where they're like brothers and then they become deadliest of enemies forever. And I'm like, oh, isn't that Silco and Vander, Connor? Isn't that their story?
Literally the same.
But last thing I want to say is I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get a flash forward to see Little Man and how he's doing. So hopefully we do see him, and we'll see him once. Vi won't have any allies when she gets out.
You think he'll be little still?
Little Man's going to be running the streets.
Yeah, he's going to be running it. Oh, my gosh. How little is he?
Because he was probably the same age as Powder, roughly.
Yeah, so he's going to be, he's not going to be little. He's going to be a teen. I wish he was. Yeah, maybe now he'll be like huge and jacked and they'll still call him Little Man. I'll be right the first time.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, I guess, because we're pretty much at the end here. Do you have anything else you want to say, Dave?
Nah, episode 3 is the best episode of all time.
Until the finale.
Until the finale, yeah.
Good. Give us something to look forward to.
Oh, something that you will really want to pay attention to here is the name of the next episode. Everyone Wants to Be My Enemy. This is the name of it. So
everybody wants to be
Very meta of them. So
yes. Love that. I don't really have final thoughts, just that I love it and I can't wait to binge it.
Hell yeah.
We'll get back to you soon, folks.
I agree. I'm having such a good time. I feel at this point how I can't feel exactly how you feel, Luke, but I feel how you feel in a way where I'm just so happy Kathleen likes it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when it comes to, you know, when Luke tells me to watch something like Arcane, I'm going to, and he says it's awesome. Dave, you too. Whoever says it on Bingetown, it's going to be awesome. I know it's going to be awesome, but that's because when it comes to a show like Arcane, we have certain biases, whether it's like the fantasy bias, certain things that you wouldn't have as much, Kathleen, like what I'm saying, like we were obsessed with reading Wheel of Time or Cosmere or something. And it's
anime.
You know, again, not that you're hit by the stigma of animation or anime, like you're not going to get stigmatized by that, but like it's there for a lot of people. And the fact that you're like, nah, man, I love this. It's just doing it for me. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah. I mean, you should, the beginning of the episode, when you guys were just doing your little tidbits and overviews, I was like just ear to ear smiling because it's so, it makes me happy knowing that you guys had enjoyed these three episodes as much as I did.
It's going to be fun to talk about five more of these guys. And
all right, well, let's record tomorrow because I'm watching tonight.
Next episode, we're all going to be on the same level of amount of episodes watched for Arcane.
Yep.
Twice. You guys have seen it twice through, but
all right
y'all. Well, that's our episode. That was episodes 2, 3, and 4. We're coming back with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, baby. So pumped. Also coming up, we've got Alice in Borderland season 2 for all the Netflix homies out there. If you like Arcane, I feel like Alice in Borderland, same kind of sci-fi.
Based off an anime, too.
A lot of death. So that's coming up. We've got the screener, so we'll be watching soon and recording, not me, but the boys will. Another thing, we're going to be recording a White Lotus wrap up. So if you've been watching that every Sunday and obsessing over that, like me and Kyle, and maybe not Jimmy, doesn't love it as much as we do, but he'll be on the pod to give his thoughts. Recently, we did House of the Dragon. We're currently doing Rick and Morty as well, and Vampire Academy on Peacock. So we've got good stuff coming up, great stuff in the past. Go check us out, BingeTownTV.com, BingeTownTV on all socials, and give us a follow, a like, subscribe. We are BingeTown TV. Thanks for listening.
Happy Progress Day.
Happy Progress Day. Nice, I love that.
I wish I think of something while I'm doing the spiel.
Dave is so good at them. Dave always pulls something out.
Dave, right. Do you have that in your notes, or you just pull that out of your ass?
That was just literally that was right at the end.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.